Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Hi, Larry Mueller here. Happy to have you along today as we take up the topic of fiction and mystery and murder in the north, the northern climes of Wisconsin. Victoria Houston is our guest today. She's the author of the Loon Lake Fishing Mystery Series. She's done 12 in that series. The latest is called titled Dead Tees. I finished it up a while back now, and I really enjoyed it. She lives and writes and fishes in northern Wisconsin, and she joins us today from our WPR studio in Wausau. Great to have her with us, and thank you so much for listening in. And I'm wondering, have you read any of Victoria's books? Do you enjoy them? What do you like about them? Maybe you're an aspiring writer who could use some encouragement, or are you just curious about the process that writers go through to create their works? We can talk about all that when you call in at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org, or go to my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show, and you can post a question or a comment there. And Victoria Houston, are you with us?
I certainly am. Good morning, Larry.
Good morning. Great to hear your voice again.
Thank you.
We, Dead Tees is the 12th installment, right?
It is. And I'm working on number 13.
Oh, good. I have read, I'm missing two.
I've missed, oh, golly.
I've read 11. I think I've read, I actually know, I've read all but two. And so,
well, the secret to finding out which one you missed is to go to my website.
Yeah.
We list them all, and we list them all in order. But if you were going to ask me at this moment to list them all in order, I might have a problem.
Well, I tell you what, I actually figured out which two I was missing, and then I went online to look, and I think a copy, I could have had one for like $75.
I know. Isn't that tragic?
I thought, whoa, 75 bucks.
Now that's going to change, actually. I have a new publisher, F&W Crime, and as we speak, they are planning to bring some of that backlist back into print. You know, there's been such a revolution in the publishing industry. Lost a lot of bookstores, which is too bad.
Yeah.
Really too bad. But the demand is there, and my publisher, Ben Leroy, is meeting with everyone out in the East Coast this week. And we've had such a good response to Dead Tees that he's making sure that that backlist is going to be available to everybody.
Oh, that's wonderful. Well,
you still have to order it, though. You still have to let, you know, Yankee's Bookstore or Book for Murder or whoever your bookstore is in Madison or Milwaukee or wherever, you know, even if
let
they don't have
know.
It on the shelf.
They can always order it. They can always order it. Well, you know what? I have many questions for you, but Joy Lynn's on the road driving, I bet. So let's go to her and see what's on Joy Lynn's mind.
Hi, Victoria.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning. I'm so excited to be talking with you. I just wanted to let you know about 3 years ago, I was telling a coworker I was going to be camping in northern Wisconsin, and she said, oh, you've got to get Victoria Houston's book. It's all about Wisconsin. And so I picked up my first book then, and then I happened to be at an antique store, and they had a bunch of your books, so I picked up three more at the antique store. And then throughout the years, now I've read all of them. I've got the last one. I read The Dead Tees already, and the last one that I picked up via the Internet was The Dead Renegade. So I just finished that one.
So wow, well, thank you, Joy. That makes my day.
You're just a great writer. I just love the characters. And
thank you. I'm glad.
Job.
You know what? When you were camping up there, I'm glad they didn't scare you to death, that you were afraid there were murderers lurking behind the bushes.
That's right. Yeah.
Well, with a great police chief like Llewellyn Ferris and old Doc Osborne there to help her out, you were probably safe, Joy Lynn.
Yeah, I was. So are you working on another one after The Dead Tees?
I certainly am. I am working on number 13. The working title is Dead Insider. You'll notice all my books start with dead. Then after that, I try to use words from different trout flies or fishing lures. Yeah. So an insider is a trout fly. That's where that came from. But, yep, just getting started on it, and I have to tell you, I don't know who the murderer is yet. Yeah, I never know until about midway through the book.
But you've got somebody dead already.
Oh, definitely. We've got a body.
When do you think you'll have that one finished?
You know, probably just about this time next year.
Wonderful.
You know, it may people tell me sometimes, I read your book in one evening, and all I can think of, it took me a year to write it.
What was the title again? So I look forward to picking it up.
Oh, the new one will be Dead Insider.
Great.
All right.
Yep.
Thank you so much. Take care.
Yep. Thanks, Joy Lynn. Thank you very much for calling.
Thank you for calling.
You can join in, too, by the way, at 1-800-642-1234. If you have a question you want to email, you can do that, too. Email us at talk@WPR.org or post on my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. We'd love to hear from you. Wow. Do you ever think you'd be writing about these characters? What is it, 10 years at least?
No. It occurred to me the other day, in fact, I was talking to somebody. I got started with what turned into the first book in the series, Dead Angler, in 1994.
Oh.
And it took me 2.5 years to write that book because I was just, I was feeling my way, learning how to do it. Before that, it had taken me 5 years to learn how to write a mystery. At one point, my agent had said to me, when I turned in one of my early manuscripts, she said, "This is so bad. Don't even show this to someone who loves you unconditionally." So it took me a while to find my way because I'd been a nonfiction writer for about 15 years. So, it was a big change for me. But so far, I love my characters. I'm really happy with them. We continue to have murder, mayhem, and great fishing in northern Wisconsin. And so as I wind up with 13, I'm hoping to get a contract for another 2 to 3 books in the series,
Oh, that's great. Well, and you've got some characters that are really fun, and it's you always look forward to getting the next book just to see what Llewellyn Ferris is up to, and Doc Osborn, and Ray. What's Ray's last name? I'm forgetting.
Ray Pratt.
Pratt.
Yeah, that's the guy who wears a fish on his head.
Yeah.
And I knew a guy like that. Some of that stuff you cannot make up. Somebody said to me the other day, though, that they were going to come to one of my book signings with a hat like Ray Pratt's. And I thought, boy, if they do, I'm calling 911.
Well, yeah, he's got a hat.
Scary scene.
He's got a hat with a big trout, isn't it, on top?
Yeah, a big stuffed fish. It's about 12 inches and sticks out over both ears and pretty decorative. Memorable.
Oh, man. I tell you what, Terry from Rudolph emailed and said, "My husband and I are addicted to Victoria Houston's books and are very grateful. There's another book and more to come. Thanks so much for your creativity and ours a pleasure." That's nice to hear.
That is nice. I think one of the benefits that you forget when you're writing a series like this is how enjoyable it is to meet your readers. And I was in Minneapolis this past weekend, and I must have had 20 people come in who'd read all the books in the series. And you would have thought that these were their family members. And it's a pleasure. For me, it's great because my three main characters I happen to, have very warm feelings for. And then I just love the research and the backgrounds and enjoy getting into the criminal behavior that's involved.
Yeah.
And all that stuff. So it's great to get responses from the readers.
Do you work, and you do work with some law enforcement people from time to time, don't you? Or at least seek out help?
I have a couple people I go to make sure I've got things correct.
Yes, that's what I thought.
What I'm more likely to have is a couple criminal lawyers who are really good sources. So, for example, the book before Dead Tease, Dead Deceiver, had to do with an actual computer scam that took place across the United States. And a criminal lawyer who is a good friend of mine had that case. And he turned over, once the perpetrators were put in prison, who were a couple of college kids, believe it or not, he gave me that case file. And it was very interesting, and it was what helped me put it together so a reader could understand what was happening. Because some of the computer stuff is pretty complicated.
You know, you mentioned that last book, Dead Deceiver. You spent a lot of time in the minds or in the heads of male characters in that one. But in Dead Tease, I think you get a lot more into the female characters' minds. Maybe I'm misrepresenting this, but I don't think
so.
No,
I think you're right, because there's a lot to do with who the ultimate murderer is. And I'm not going to say that on the air for people who haven't read the book. But as we're working in that direction, we're going through the experiences that various women are having that's leading to that denouement, So yeah. I think you're quite right. I hadn't even thought of that. Some books I am more in the male characters' heads, and some books more definitely in the female characters' heads.
I wondered about that, because I wondered if it was harder for you to be for one over the other, or does it change how you write at all?
Well, here's what I do. I think the key is point of view. And consistently since I started the series, I've had definitely the point of view of Doc Osborne, the retired dentist.
Mm-hmm.
That's a character I feel I kind of know in my bones, because I think I've mentioned before, he's really distilled from memories of my father, my grandfather, and my uncle, all of whom are dentists and practiced in the North Woods and, had marriages to good women and crabby women and all those things. So I, growing up around them, I hear their voices, and I've really been able to distill that into Doc Osborne. What I started to do in the more recent books is a little more point of view from Llewellyn Ferris.
Yeah.
And a little more point of view on occasion from Ray Pratt. But I still work with a very limited point of view. And I find when I'm reading crime fiction by other writers, if they're giving me too many points of view from too many people, I find that confusing.
Yeah.
And also, you want to know who is the person, who is this person that is speaking, or whose head am I in? And why?
Yep.
So that's very much, I think, for a mystery writer, a decision you have to make, which is, we're going to look at this from everybody's point of view, or are we going to look at this from one, two, or three people?
Yeah. And you really take on a range of female characters, and frankly, not all of them are very likable. How do you avoid?
Larry, we've lived long enough. We both know many people who are not particularly likable.
That is very true. But I'm wondering, how do you avoid falling into the stereotypes, the sort of expected patterns, so that they seem like real people?
Well, again, I think the characters, as I'm working on a book, they are distilled from memories I have of people I've known, since childhood.
Yeah.
And in Dead Tease in particular, those characters are distilled from people that definitely go back to my teenage years. And then what happens in, memory is never accurate. And so you're really able to pull together maybe a couple of defining characteristics from two or three different people, but combine them in that one character. And I think that's what keeps your character from becoming a caricature.
Yeah.
And also, I don't think there's a single person out there that we might say is unlikable, but they don't have some redeeming qualities, some things that happened in their lives that might have precipitated the kind of actions they take. And I think sympathy works for it, too.
Yeah, I think you're right. Victoria Houston, our guest today, author of the Loon Lake Fishing Mystery Series. Her latest is Dead Teas. Talking with her about it. Lots of people online to visit, and we will, in just a second or two, we'll get back and take your calls here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Larry Mueller. Dave Potratz, our on-air producer today here on the Ideas Network. Lots of people online with questions for Victoria Houston as we talk with her about her latest book, Dead Teas, and about the entire Loon Lake Mystery series. It's a great series. I have always really enjoyed reading them. Amy in Eau Claire has been waiting for a while. Amy, thank you for waiting. Hello.
Hi. What a pleasure it is to hear her speak and have an opportunity to speak with you. I have read every single one of your books since they first came out. I lived almost 30 years in northern Wisconsin, and now we're down in Eau Claire. So even now, every time I read one of your books, it's like going back home.
Thank you, Amy. Where did you live?
We lived in Drummond, Wisconsin.
Oh, sure. I've been over to Drummond.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
So
beautiful
we
country.
We raised our kids up there. My dad is an avid fisherman, so every time, you know, I read about the fishing, it's like being home again, you know, up there in that climate and everything. And the other thing I love about your books is your people are so real. You don't have these gorgeous looking women, and even though I'm sure some are attractive, but you know what I mean. The hero is this big handsome stud, and all that. So the people are so real, and you know, over the years, you know, it's like you feel like you're part of that family too. So every time I'm a library person, so I always check to see I go online and look in Barnes & Noble and see if any of my favorite authors have written any books, and then I go put a reserve in the libraries oftentimes before they're even printed. So.
Well, that's neat. Well, I love hearing that, Amy.
You just keep it up.
All right.
Okay, I will.
Thanks, Amy. Thanks a lot for calling. That's a very nice comments. Well, love your characters.
Well, you know, northern Wisconsin is sort of a interesting area. It's very unique in the country. I know you've been up there, Larry, but we have so many lakes. We have a higher ratio of water to land than even the boundary waters in Minnesota.
Yeah.
In fact, there's just one area in Russia, I think, that is sort of parallel. And so it makes for a very different landscape. And also, the fishing culture then just imbues the whole area.
Yeah, it's just something different about the. It's just a wonderful place to spend time. And you do bring that, and that does come through, as our last caller said. I mean, that really does come through. And if you've spent any time up there at all, your books sort of take you right there again. And that's great.
And I hear from a lot of readers from across the country who send me emails. And it's interesting to get emails from California or the East Coast or Tanzania, for example. But these are people who at some point in their life, childhood, college, were in the North Woods. And so I think it works well for them in terms of bringing back those memories. And for me, growing up there, being away for 30 years and then coming back, you know, when I was 18, I thought it was boring as heck. And now, of course, for me, it's God's country. So it's funny.
Kathy in Marshfield, hello.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. This is Kathy, one of the boys from Wausau calling. I just tuned in, and I was surprised to hear from you. So, you know, I read all your books. I even read the last one before I got your email. It's got a nice twist, I have to say, so I encourage people to read it. It's very good.
Great. Thanks, Kathy.
Yep, I enjoyed it. And I hope you're going to be doing some signings in the area. I would encourage people to go to meet you in person because they're always a lot of fun. So are you going to be around somewhere?
Yes, and they're gonna allege that I probably paid you to say that.
We've got a whole list. Let's go through those because April 10th.
At Yankee Bookstore.
Yankee's Bookstore in Wausau.
Yep, at 6:30.
And so that's April 10th. April 14th, 9:30 in the morning at Appleton Public Library. Is that right?
Actually, I have to correct that. It'll be at 1 o'clock that afternoon in Menasha. at the Menasha Public Library. I think they gave you sort of a out-of-date list just for that one. They just changed their schedule, so.
But that's April 14th, right?
Yep, at the Fox Cities Festival.
And I'll be up there, as a matter of fact, for that on the 13th, Friday the 13th, we'll be broadcasting from there.
Ooh.
Yeah, so that's going to be a lot of fun. Really looking forward to that. And then you're Saturday, April 21st, you are in Oconto, I think.
Sure, at the Bayshore Bookstore.
And that's 10 to noon?
Yep.
And then the 20th?
Of
April, I've got you down for 1 to 3 Book for Murder in Madison. Now, am I right on that or am I wrong on that?
You're wrong on that. That is the next week. That is April 28th.
Oh, yeah. That's what I have. April 28th,
okay, 1 to
3 p.m. Book for Murder.
Okay, thank you. Because otherwise I was going to say I better, like, learn how to travel via internet.
Well, and of course, I'm pretty sure we have your website up, but what is your site, just in case? I'm almost positive we have it up, but just in case.
www.victoriahouston.com.
VictoriaHouston.com. Okay, easy enough to find.
Really is, and just hit schedule and everything comes up.
And Kathy, thanks again. Jerry and Pray to Sheen. Your turn. Hi.
Hello, Victoria. This is Jerry from the Grammar Police in Parade of Sheen.
Good morning, Jerry.
Yeah, we've exchanged an email or two on your last book, but happy to have you on the program again.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you.
Go ahead. I want to thank you for the series, and I'd suggest that if people haven't read you, I'd recommend that they read the books in sequence. While each book can stand alone, there's a continuing storyline that's developed from book to book, and I kind of like that, and I like the familiarity of the characters. And
well, you're correct. The difference in reading, you know, in sequence is that you see the relationships develop between the three main characters. But otherwise, I really go out of my way to be sure the books stand alone, because right now it can be kind of difficult to get all the books in sequence. And so I want people to feel like they aren't going to be missing any serious clues.
Right.
I'm pretty sure our Pershing Library has the entire series. They encourage and support Wisconsin authors by adding Wisconsin authors' works to their collection.
That's great.
Excellent.
And I do like returning to the Northwoods by reading your novels. I'm originally from up north. I'm familiar with the Brule River and the Flambeau Rivers, and reading your books is like a trip up north. It's like a trip back home.
Yeah.
Wonderful, Jerry. I'm glad to hear that.
Thank you so much for calling. Yeah, those of us who have spent time on the Chippewa Flowage or the Turtle Flambeau Flowage or the many Great Lakes, Trout Lake, the many Great Lakes in northern Wisconsin, appreciate reading about it, and especially in this kind of context. It's kind of fun in the context of a murder.
Murder, mayhem, and fishing. I mean, what can beat that, you know?
Oh, Jerry, thanks again. I want to go to Karen and Nina. Hi, Karen.
Hi, Larry. This is Karen, and I'm very happy to talk to Victoria for the second time. I met her once at Barnes & Noble in Appleton. Pat from Once Upon a Crime in Minnesota, it was the one who turned me on to your books, and I've loved every one of them, and I especially enjoy the character of Ray Pratt. He's such a dear person.
Oh, well, thank you, Karen, and I was just over at Once Upon a Crime last Saturday and saw Pat and Gary, and they have such a wonderful store over there.
Isn't it remarkable?
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to seeing you in Menasha on the 14th, so...
Oh, perfect. Good. Thank you. Tell me that we talked today, okay?
Okay. Sounds good.
Okay,
all right.
Good.
Thanks, Karen. You can join in, too, by the way. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. It's 1-800-642-1234 as we talk with Victoria Houston. The lines have been pretty well full, but now we have an opening so we can get you on fairly quickly as we visit with Victoria Houston about her books. What do you enjoy about them? Or... Are you an aspiring writer? Maybe have some questions about writing. Join in. 1-800-642-1234. Let's turn to Dale in another great area, Rhinelander. Hi, Dale.
Hello, Victoria. This is Dale from Rhinelander. I have a question. I talked to
Good
many.
Good morning.
Are you ever going to work the myth of the hoed egg into one of your murder crimes?
That is a good question. That's a very good question and a very good thought. Let me work on that.
I like that.
Why would I not? You know, it's very much a part of that region. And even, you know, recently I've done some travel and I'll be, you know, in line in a TSA line in some remote area. And the minute people see Rhinelander, they say hoed egg. So, yeah, good suggestion, Dale.
Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. And we should at least give an outline. We're having so much fun talking with everybody. Tell people sort of the outline of this particular book, Dead Teas.
Well, why don't I tell you where the story came from? Because I think
that's a perfect way to do it.
About two summers ago, I was contacted by a book club, a group here in the state, and where they're from exactly will remain anonymous. I don't want to get anybody into a lawsuit or anything, but it's a group that had been meeting, if you can believe it, for 30-some years. And they had just read one of my books and were hoping if a group of women came for a weekend, would I be willing to have dinner and talk about my books? And I said, absolutely. So they made a pilgrimage to Rhinelander, where I live, and there were six of these ladies, and they booked themselves into one of the nice motels there, and then came out to my cottage, and we had cocktails, and we had dinner at Holiday Acres, and they turned out to be so interesting and engaging, I invited them back to the cottage to have a nightcap, and by that time, we'd talked plenty about Victoria Houston and Loon Lake. So they started to talk about a scandal in their community where this CEO had just been fired because they discovered he was having affairs with eight women on staff.
Oh.
And in my little group that night was one of the administrators from that organization. So all the women turned to her, and they wanted to know from her names and phone numbers, like who were the women? Well, she refused to tell them. What she did say was, you know, privacy is a huge issue here, and all I can say is I lost some very good staff. But I'm sitting there, I'm thinking, holy cow. And eight women, and was this simultaneous or over a period of time or all these questions? So I realized you can't have eight victims. Maybe you could have three. And so that was my starting point for Dead Teas. And going back to something you said earlier in the program, Larry, you know, there are some people that we through life we find maybe we don't care for them too much. Mm-hmm. Well, I have certainly known my share of serial womanizers.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had no difficulty coming up with the profile, you know, distilling an image of who the CEO getting into all the trouble might be and how he would behave and how his wife might react to some of this. And so that's the starting point for Dead Teas.
Oh, that is a wonderful story. I'm glad you approached it from that direction. That was great. So have you kept contact with any of these women? Have they ever...
I haven't talked to them since the book came out. I should.
Oh.
But I'm not sure that they'll, you know, I made enough changes. I didn't want. One thing that I'm very careful about is I don't like to use real life crimes from my immediate community in my books. That could be too painful for some people.
Yeah.
So I made changes in this storyline, too, so that even if for some reason the book ended up in the hands of, you know, one of the eight women that this guy had been involved with, she's not going to recognize herself.
Yeah, she wouldn't know it. All right. Al in Land O'Lakes, it is your turn. Hi.
Hi, how you doing?
Good, thank you for calling. What can we do for you?
First of all, Larry, I want to let you know that I live up here in the Cisco chain, and we have a muskie up here with your name on it.
Oh.
We call him Larry. Anyway, two things. I haven't read your books, but I'm going to. Two things that I wanted to ask you about were both murders. Did you ever hear about the Joyce estate, the people that own 7-Up on Lake Minocqua, where the brother hired a guy to blow up his brother, and they were putting a bomb in the car, and it went off, and he killed the guy he hired, and then he went blew his arm off and went to prison for many, many years.
Wow. When did that happen?
I'm not sure, but I'm thinking it was the early 60s.
Wow.
Okay, because I can look that up. I can Google that. That's interesting. I know a number of incidents that have occurred on Lake Minocqua. It's kind of a nice, it's kind of like as good as Eagle River. It's a hotbed of murder and mobsters and things like that. But that one I'm not that familiar with, so I'll look it up. Thanks for the tip.
Yeah, you know, I have a friend that keeps a boat there, and we drive around, and I'm going through my own family dynamics now. But anyway, every place up here has its story.
Doesn't it?
Yeah, with the inheritance and the family dynamics and the fear and the loathing, you know, and it's just interesting to me. Anyway, have you ever heard of Summer Wind on West Bay Lake?
Oh, yeah.
No.
Oh, I've heard of
Summer. Larry has. Is this one of the ghost stories?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And it involves a murder. And I actually know the woman that owns it now. And it burnt in 85. It was hit by lightning, like, 5 times in one night. So
wow.
Somebody's got something against that. It burnt down, and the stonework is still there. Anyway, there was a ghost, you know, and I used to go and hang out there when I was a kid, and they were going through a renovation and stuff like that. But there was a ghost of a woman and a bullet hole in the door. And they did a thing on the Discovery Channel. They did an hour on this. You know, but I've always been interested to hear other things about that because, like I said, the stonework is still there. And it goes back to a treaty deal that back in the 1840s, the guy that built the place brokered a treaty between two tribes that were warring, and they supposedly gave him a deed to all this property around the you know, the UP and the Cisco chain and all that stuff, but nobody's ever been able to find it. Anyway, thanks for the show. It's just terribly interesting. I'll hang up.
All right.
Thanks for the tips.
You can follow up on those, Victoria.
Where is Summer Wind? You said you are familiar with
Summer Wind, yeah. I'm just thinking it's right in that area. I mean, you're close to it.
Okay.
Yeah,
oh,
You're very close to it. John in Sun Prairie, it's your turn. Hi, John.
Yes, hi. I have a true murder story to tell. It's actually true. I met a man about 20 years ago, and he was at a bridge, and a man came with a canoe and a boy in it under the bridge, and the boy didn't talk, say anything. So he followed them quite a distance to a rapids, and then something happened. I met the man later, and he said to me, "That man will never do what he did to that boy." And my son and his partner went down there and found a tent with all the fishing equipment and everything by the rapids there, not used at all. There was something that happened there. I have reason to believe later when I went there, they found bones some distance away. And I went to the game warden and the sheriff. Do you know that the game warden, neither the game warden or the sheriff would go there to look at the scene because it was too much of a walk for them? I believe a pedophile murdered a boy, and the man, I knew him, he always carried a revolver when he went in the woods. I think he solved the problem. He told me that man will never do what he did to that boy again.
Wow, that's a story.
That is quite a story.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing.
Yeah, wow. Suddenly we're getting quite a few stories here. Thanks, John. Joanne in Eau Claire, I think, has a different sort of question. So let's go there. Hi, Joanne.
Okay. Hi, thanks for taking my call. I don't know if I can follow up on that story. That was great. I'm an author. I'm not published. I'm having a difficult time with my midpoint. Let's see. I've got two protagonists. Oh, it's a murder mystery. I have a protagonist who's a college student, and my other protagonist is a retired police chief who is now a detective in a small town, medium-sized town in northwest Wisconsin. Having a hard time with the midpoint for my character, who is a female, who is a student.
You know, my suggestion is to get in touch with Mystery Writers of America's Midwest chapter, because they have a couple of conferences coming up, and they really go out of their way to work with new writers and to kind of help people resolve some of the issues like that. So I think if you just Google Mystery Writers of America, and then when you get to that site, it'll have a link to the Midwest chapter. And I think they've got some sessions coming up in June. And that would be the best source to get some help.
Yeah. That's okay, very good. Yeah, that's very, sure. Very good advice, for sure. Well, here we are approaching almost out of time. How are the sales? How are the book sales going?
Well, the book sales have been terrific, Larry. I think it's a yin-yang sort of situation. I'm sorry to say that bookstores are having a difficult time with this whole revolution with the e-book.
Yeah.
And yet, for me, as an author, the e-books are just, you know, flying out the the Ethernet. You know, Amazon and Barnes & Noble and some of these folks, they can promote your book to millions in a drop of a key on the computer. And then on the other hand, many people still prefer a book, a hard copy. So,
frankly,
sales
I'm in that
are
camp.
Very good.
I'm in that camp.
I am too. I'm finding that people, if you travel a lot, you tend to want a reader, e-reader. But I've known many people buy both the hard copy book and the e-book and go back and forth.
Oh, they do?
Yeah. And I'm still a hard copy person myself.
Yeah, I just like the feel of a book, and I like to turn the pages. All right, you can kind of electronically turn those pages, but it's not the same.
Well, you know, and the other thing is, my current publisher, F&W Crime, they're doing these gorgeous covers. I don't want to give up a book cover and the paper that's inside, and, you know, the font and the whole production in terms of book design is very satisfying.
Yeah, I love the cover of Dead Tees.
Thank you. I do, too.
Oh, man. So that's somebody else came up with that design, not you.
Oh, heavens. I can write, but here's what I can't do. I cannot sing for anything. I mean, they told me when I was a kid, please, just move your lips. And I certainly cannot draw. I'm no artist.
Well, I'm telling you, you can write, though, very well. And I want to.
Well, thank you, Larry.
I want to thank you so much, Victoria, for being with us. And we'll look forward to that next book.
And maybe, okay, I'll get back to work.
Hurry up. Get that done. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it very much. Victoria Houston, author of the Loon Lake Fishing Mystery Series, Dead Tees, is the 12th in that installment, and great to have her along to talk with her. She's kind of a master of using words to set a scene and tell a story. And next we're going to focus in more on the words themselves, the individual words. Joan Hall, from the Dictionary of American Regional English, is here. She's going to be sharing some unusual words and phrases with us, and we'll talk about why we say things the way we say them. That's next here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.